well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, God is doing some wonderful things in all of our lives, despite any challenges. And I know all of us have had challenges in different areas. But that doesn't mean to say that we stop, that we give up, that we cease to be doing what we're doing, that we stop practicing the things that we know to practice, which has got us in the place of strength. And, you know, God wants us to stay focused, and he wants us to stay steadfast. As Amber was sharing, there was a scripture that came to my mind. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:58. I want to read it. It's absolutely brilliant. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. So steadfast is that we continue to do what we know to do, not moving away from it, not moving to the left, not moving to the right. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the way we do that is by staying focused with God. Like, God wants us to really keep focus in these times that, you know, some people are having a great time as believers. Everything's going hunky-dory for them. Everything's flowing like milk and honey for them. And some people might have it a little bit different or a little bit tougher. But when, no, God's not a respecter of persons, is he? But God is a God, he's a faith God. And he goes to work when we believe. He goes to work when we stay steadfast, when we stay focused with him, when we stay determined to do the things that God has called us to do without effort. Because it really shouldn't be an effort to, oh, well, I better pray. This is, you know, I better pray so that I don't get attacked. And no, we pray because we want to pray. We pray because we love God. We pray because he's called us before the foundations of the world, that he's filled us with the Holy Spirit, that he's given us this good life. And that before that, we were having a tough life, right? There were things going on, and there were things weren't so great. And not everybody that wasn't born again before had a really tough time. You know, some just need to be saved, because all men need to be saved to receive the Spirit of God. Some people had a good life, but not as good as what they can have it with God, being led by the Spirit of God, having a connection with the creators of the heavens and the heavens and the earth. And we should be really thankful that we do have that connection with God, who is the creator of the heaven and the earth, who is our wonderful heavenly Father, who is a God of light, who is a God of love, who is a God of kindness, a God of restoration, a God of healing, a God of deliverance. We got everything on our side to be happy every day, regardless of where we may be on the carnal. And we can either move in the carnal flow, or we can move in the spiritual flow. Even if there's things in our carnal that are not being a blessing to us, we can still move in the spiritual lane, because we're seated at the right hand side of God. So in our minds, we can know, yeah, okay, I got this situation here, this situation there, but it is under my feet, and it's in the hands of my Father, because I can't do nothing without my Father. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. What I hear the Father speak, that's what I'm going to speak. That's what we determine to do. And God really wants us to enjoy every day, regardless of the challenges. You can enjoy every day, because you know you're not going to stay where you are. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, to heal the broken in heart. And there's many people that are broken in heart, broken in mind, broken in physical hearts. But who's the restorer? Who's the mender? Who's the repairer of the breach? Our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And really, the truth is, no matter where you are in your walk right now and what's going on in your circumstances, you are complete. And you may not feel complete, you may not feel whole, but you are whole. This is the true spiritual realities, and these are the things that we have to meditate upon and to give a voice to. You know, we need to get our hearts, what we're thinking in our heart and what we speak in with our mouth, lined up, married together, so it's like an agreement. The heart and the mouth need to be in agreement, because I could be thinking something and be saying something completely different. What's in my heart might not actually what is coming out of my mouth. We know it says in the scriptures, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, the sum and substance of what someone is will be spoken. But there might be differences of opinions, and we might be agreeing with someone, but in our hearts we may not really be agreeing with it. And so God's word is the measuring stick, the heavenly words. The direction that God gives us is what we need to put in our hearts and follow. From a free will heart, not out of fear. Well, if I don't do this, God's not going to take care of me. God's not going to bless me, God's not going to come through for me. That just isn't how God works. God is a God of love. And God saved you before you, you know, his heart for you was already there for you. Jesus Christ already paid the price even before you were born for the sin that we entered into through the fall of Adam and Eve, right? So God already made the way. The way's already been made. The healing's already been made available. The abundance has already been laid out. And the way that we receive this is by walking with God, doing what he's shown us to do. And I was thinking of, and I was saying, do you know these games? You know, like you watch these games on television and they're trying to win prizes. And along the way, they might have to follow a trail. And along the trail, there's some jackpots, like little gold coins they might have to find. And if they follow the trail properly, then they hit the jackpot each time. And it's a bit like our walk can be a bit like there's a jackpot there with God every day for us. But because we might be listening to something that's not quite sound doctrine, or we might be listening to other people's opinions or our own feelings or emotions, we miss those jackpot moments and at the end of the day where we could have come at the end of the day with a great big reward, you know, because God wants us happy all the time. No, he's called us to live the happy and smooth life. We have the rough and tumble life. And God said, no, I called you to live a completely different life. I called you to live a life that's free of worry, fears and doubts. I've given you my spirit. And the same spirit that Jesus Christ, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is dwelling in you. And I want you to use that spiritual ability. I want you to speak the words I put in your mouth and in your heart. I want you to follow the encouragement I've got for you, not somebody else's tradition, not somebody else's ideas. And what we follow is what works. What's being encouraged and what works, and it's bringing fruit and results to people through their practice and through their understanding of walking with God, then, you know, when they're encouraged, and you can follow that. So, you know, Paul says, become followers of me. And he was followers of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, become followers of me. No, my ways are in Christ. His ways wasn't in the world. They were at one time, but when he got transformed, he wasn't no more longer conformed. So when we're being transformed, we are not being conformed to the fashions of this world, to what the adversary set up, the way we should think or the way we should speak. God has given us a whole new narrative. Heavenly words, powerful words. And so, you know, our thoughts, our minds and emotions are very important. You know, God says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, put a guard over your mouth. Watch the words that come out. Everything we think and say that's in agreement will happen, will come to pass, is manoeuvring and causing those things to come into shape in our life. You know, unbelievers or Satanists or people that practice witchcraft know these things. These people that cast spells, you know, the evil side know how to operate in that way. We should know how to operate in it better. We got more authority, more jurisdiction, and we need to really believe who we are. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. In other words, we're not letting things stop us from moving ahead and to continue in the flow that God's called us to. Like, if you think these 5 years, been mentioned a couple of times by a few different people tonight, what God has done. Like, God has done this through the heavenly words, through the encouragement. And there should be great joy in the things that we're doing. It shouldn't be an uphill struggle and, you know, condemning ourselves every 5 minutes because we blew it. You're going to blow it at times, all right? Just get used to it. don't go looking for it, but you will blow it. You'll say the wrong things. You'll do the wrong things. You'll be at the wrong place at the wrong time sometimes if you're not walking with God. But when you start walking with God, you start to recognize what is beneficial, and you start to recognize God talking to your heart and mind, and you start to recognize his direction. And all we have to do is respond, and God will walk you through every situation. Now, if we're going to live in the Spirit, like it says in Galatians, let us walk by the Spirit. You know, living in the Spirit is not just praying and speaking in tongues, it's listening to the voice of God and moving in that direction. Not listening to the voice of tradition or voice of the world. And if it doesn't bring you peace, is it really from God? So we've got everything that we can put to the acid test of the truth of God's word. So there's many things that will get us looking at our circumstances, looking at our situations. And I'm going to read it again. Even though I've read this before, I'm just going to read it again because this is what comes to my heart to do. And I think that, you know, you can really learn a lot just by sometimes just reading these simple, beautiful verses of Scripture and letting God open it up to you. Like Matthew 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, and this treasure are your thoughts. Don't lay up your thoughts upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. The moth and rust is worries and fears. Okay, like an Orientalism here. Where thieves break through to steal. We know that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus Christ said, in contrast, that I am come, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It depends upon our focus. It depends upon what we're listening to. Are we operating from the carnal mind, or are we operating from our spiritual mind of God in Christ in us, right? And God is saying, don't put your thoughts on the things of this earth. Yes, there's goals. There's things that we might plan. There's things we might want to achieve. Nothing wrong with that, right? Somebody might want to pursue a career. Somebody might want to climb a mountain, the highest mountain, Himalayas or whatever, or Kilimanjaro or whatever they want to do. Nothing wrong with having goals and things like that. And God can be with you in everything that you're doing. But for those that want to move with God, those that want to see the walk that Jesus Christ had living in their life and playing out in their life, you know, we're focused with what God wants us to do first. And we can still do those other things, but God is first. The focus is, like for me, the focus for me is the fellowship. You know, I've got my family, but is to pray for those laborers. I want the key laborers. I want the fellowships to grow. I want leaders to rise up, for them to start their fellowships, for them to have the same as what I'm doing. Like we see the replication of this in India and the leaders rising up and moving. You know, for each one to connect and do the things with heart. Like when they connect, they're doing it with heart. When they speak in tongues, they're doing it with heart. Not unto me, unto God, right? They're doing it with heart. And when they speak by the Spirit, they're really letting God work in them. They're doing it with heart. They're bold. They're just going to open up and speak no matter what comes out like, because they're trusting God to give them the heavenly words. They're practicing. This is our faith and practice, to honor God with their substance, to do it with heart, not to do it to please anyone, but to do it because this is what God wants us to do. It's for our prosperity, it's to worship God, it's to honor God, and it's for our personal finances and blessings and many more things in our life, and for our spiritual understanding and all the things that, this wonderful honoring God does. When we connect, we're doing it with heart. When we're praying for laborers, we really are desiring those laborers. And we know why we're praying for them. And we know what we're praying for when we pray for a laborer. And if you don't, then when you speak to me on the one-on-ones, I'll give you some more encouragement. What is a laborer? Why are we praying for laborers? What are we looking for? How does God do these things? How does it all plan out? And how does it all pan out? So, you know, this is where I set my thoughts. My thoughts are not set on the things of this earth, even though there are things in this earth I need to do. My first thought is God. Okay, God, what are we doing? What do you want me to focus on today? You know, give me my before ordained works every day. And then verse 20 says, but lay up for yourself treasures, thoughts in heaven, where neither moth or rust, worries and fears doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. When you are focused with the heavenly focus, when you're focused with God's direction and what God's saying, those fears, worries and doubts are not going to touch you. You know where it's coming from. And you don't want it to steal your peace that you've got burning in your heart, right? So they try to come in. They try to can overtake you through different circumstances, situations that are not in your control, because there's outside circumstances. But what we can control is our thinking and where we set our thoughts. We decide where we're going to put our thoughts. We decide whether we're going to let something that's bugging us keep us down, or whether we're going to overcome it with God and we're going to believe what God says about us. And sometimes, yeah, you just have to stay steadfast, resolute, unmovable. I am healed by the stripes of Christ. I am blessed. I am restored. I am recovered. I'm absolutely perfect. But you're lying. I can see this in your life. And I can see, no, I am healed. I am healthy. I am whole. I am prosperous. I am successful. And I'm not going to be moved by you or anybody else, because I trust in my living God. I've got this one life to live here on the earth, and I'm going to live it unto God. and I'm going to let him accomplish in me what he's designed and called me to accomplish for my life, because I'm going to have the best life. So we lay up our treasures in heaven, where the worries and doubts thus corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure, your thoughts is, there will your heart be also. If your thoughts are on the things of this world, grabbing money, getting the best job, getting the best opportunities, just looking after yourself, building your own little nest egg, then you won't have it. It will take wings and fly away from you. But if you seek ye first, God, these things will come to you, because your focus is in the right place, right? And God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He wants you to be very successful in every endeavor that we do. He's not withholding any good thing to us that walk uprightly. And then it goes on in 22, 23, but I'm going to take it straight down to 24, where it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, material things, whether that's money, whether that's your job, whether that's your career, whether it's your family. You can't serve God and mammon. No, one will be first in your life. It'll either be God or the other things that you think are important, but really they're secondary to what God's got for your life. But God, thankfully, has given you all the free will choice. You make your own decisions, what you think is first. But when the things are not going, then you take, like, flowing for you, then you've got to take a step back. Okay, Father, what is it? You know, what do you want me to do? What will get me in the position so that I am moving in that heavenly flow, so that I am blessed, that I am seeing results, that I'm not just hearing the same good sharings and not getting any results? Because really, these words work. You know, I've seen so many healings, I've seen so many deliverances, I've seen the power of God operate in many different ways. I was sharing again in my one-on-one when I first went to India. I think, I'm sure Danny was with me, or it might have been Jai or Darren Wellsman. But we went to this really strange area, in these strange little buildings, and the ministering was made available. And Sangit was there with these tiny little bottles of water. And people will come up for ministry. He was ministering to him, but he also gave him this water. He said, okay, so when you get this, put the water here. Or he'll undo a bottle of water and put it on their head and bless. And these guys would be healed, because Sangit was practicing what God was showing him to practice, right? But he was getting great results. Everything that God showed him to practice, he was getting great results. So God is definitely not limited. And I've seen some of these things work, you know, and I've been there. And I never forget that with these little bottles of water, where he was just giving it to people. Okay, like, just put it on this area and you'll be healed. You're fine now. Now you'll be healed. It'll manifest. And they just believe it and they get healed. So there's so many wonderful things. God is not a limited God. We limit him through the words that we hear and we believe about God. If it's not truth, then we're limited. It's the truth that sets us free and keeps us free from that. So it says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what's the mammon in your life? And you've got to ask yourself this. What's the mammon in my life? Is God first, or have I got something before God that I feel that I need to keep hold of, and I can't really let God in on that area? That's where you won't get results. You know, God wants to get in there and bless you. He wants to take care of you. You just need to relinquish your fears and trust in the living God. Trusting in God is that you don't know how the things are going to come about, but you're trusting that he's going to bring it about for you. Like healing, for example. You know, you're believing for healing. You've got to see it's already done, baby, because it's already done spiritually. We've got to see that we've already got it, and then we will manifest it. Verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Listen, God is saying you are better than them. He takes care of them, but you're more better than them. So whatever need you've got in your life right now, God is right now taking care of it. He just needs you to listen and for you to act on the faith of the encouragement he's given you. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You're not so smart. You can't make yourself grow. You cannot change your circumstances through your own effort and means. But when we use what God has given us, we can see the things change, right? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God took care of the flowers of the field, and they didn't do nothing, but they are more beautiful than Solomon's fine clothes that he had, right? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of what? Little faith. When you're trusting in the circumstances rather than God, then you have little faith, right? Therefore, take no thought. It starts with the thoughts, what you're hearing and what you're believing. Saying, oh, what shall we eat? There's no cheese in the fridge. We can't have cheese and onion on toast. We'll have to have something else now. What are we going to do? Right? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unbelieving nations. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how to deliver it. He's given you heavenly words and direction from the scriptures and from ministers and people that walk by the Spirit so that you can have your need met. All you've got to do is listen, receive the word with meekness, retain it with conviction and do it. Then you will start to manifest the blessings that God has already said is yours. He's just lining you up so that you can receive the blessings that are already there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Like, God wants you to just put him first, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's going to take care of your husband or your wife. He's going to take care of your little ones, your children. He's going to take care of your finances and what you need in the bank and what you desire in the bank. He will take care. He says, just put me first. Why are you freaking out about all these things? Why do you let it trouble and terrasso your mind? You know, I don't want you to live that way. I want you to live carefree. I just showed you how to do that. I just showed you that I take care of everything. No, from these examples there in the scripture, this is what Jesus Christ was speaking. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've got enough to believe God for right now, right this moment, right in this moment in time, haven't you? We don't need to be worried about tomorrow or next week. Like, there's things planned. We're going to USA, South Carolina. You know, it's going to take money, finances, resources. God says, don't worry about it. I've got it prepared. You just believe and plan to get there. I'll take care of it as you move. You know, you want finances? Well, I told you what to do to get it. I've given you seed to sow. Sow your seed. Keep faithful in that area. Keep faithful on it. And it'll always be encouraged, this, because people, you can see the fluctuation of things. And people withhold it back because they get scared. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He says, trust me. If you can trust God in the area of finances, you can trust in the area of everything. You really can. Because everyone needs finances to live, right? And if you ain't got them, then you're screwed. But God says, look, I'm your sufficiency, son, daughter. You trust me. If you can trust me in that, you won't have fear of anything else. And that's really true, especially in this day and time and how the things are running right now. And how the things are going. God is with us and God is for us. He says, keep me first. And I want to just go to another record that I went through today, because I think it's really great. God has given you, and I spoke about, have the faith of God, about what we say without, you know, keeping in peace, having that perfect mind stayed on God through our words and stuff like that. So our words, our thoughts, minds and emotions are very important. But I want to finish off here, right, in Mark 11, because it really is a great record. And, you know, God has really shown us through the life of Jesus Christ here how we're to operate, how we're to move. Take it from verse 11 of Mark 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. This is the great lesson here. Like, even though it goes on to explain a little bit later, he says, And Jesus answered and said unto it, whatever your lack is, whatever your problem is, you go to the bank balance and you see there's not enough in there, or you go to the doctors, you see there's not enough for your health, or whatever it might be, whatever the situation is, you can talk to your problem. And this is what Jesus Christ done. He wasn't happy with this. So he said, like, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He spoke to the tree. He spoke to his little problem that he didn't like, and he told it what it was going to be doing. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Jesus want no wimp. He didn't suffer for gladly. He held the line when he needed to held the line. He reproved, he corrected, he loved, he encouraged, he healed, he delivered, he set people free. He'd done the will of the Father, and this is the Father operating in him in the way that he reflected everything, in the way that he said everything, in the way that he responded to things. This was the Father working through his Son, and God is also working through you. You know, God is love, God is kind, God is tender, but sometimes, like, people need to kind of wake up to what God really wants you to do, and the simplicity of it, because you can miss it otherwise. And he talked, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it into dens of thief. He was correcting them. He was saying, look, it was written there, but this is what you've done. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine, what he had to say, because it was from God. He didn't have the fear of man. He said what needed to be said, to help the people, to direct the people, even if it come at the point of correcting them and throwing out the people out of the temple and upsetting everything. You know, people would say, if you do that today, oh, you're not very good minister, are you? You know, upsetting everything, you're supposed to be peace and love. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. What Jesus said come to pass, because he believed what he said. He knew his authority. He told his problem what he wanted done with it. Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. And that literally means, that translation is, have the faith of God. You can have the faith of God. And this is the faith of God in this next verse. For truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, this fig tree, this bank account, this health situation, this bad relationship, or whatever it may be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus commanded the fig tree and told it what it was going to do. And behold, overnight it done it, right? And now he's saying, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and believe in your heart and doubt not, you shall have whatsoever you're saying. He's saying, whatever the problem is. So, like, he's saying, basically, how I spoke to the fig tree is how you speak to your problem, is how you use your authority, is how you get the things done. The kingdom of heaven has come to earth, and Jesus Christ brought it to earth through the words that he spoke. So it's very powerful, like that record. You know, I kind of went over it again today, and it's just very, very powerful. And God really wants us to use our words. He wants our hearts and our words to be in agreement, and that we believe what we say, we've already got it, even before we see anything, because we have to see it in here. That's what faith is, the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God says, light be, and light was. And then the last verse I finish off here, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. That word desire means call for. What sort of things you call for when you pray? What do you do when you pray? You're calling out to God. Call unto me, and I will hear you, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Right, that example in Jeremiah 33:3. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You shall manifest. You've got to believe the things that you desire and your calling is already yours, whether you see it in front of your physical face or not. You believe you already got it. You believe you got the result, and it will manifest. And this is how we're to use our authority. When Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand, he believed that what he said, if the man responded with faith, it would happen. That's the only requirements for that to happen. When we've cast out devil spirits in India and seen people healed, when I've cast out devil spirits in USA and Europe and seen devil spirits cry out, because I use my authority, I know who I am in Christ. I know that what I said by the inspiration of God had to come to pass. Those devil spirits have to obey. Your body has to obey the command of God. You need to have your faith there to receive that healing. You're already healed. I'm already healed. Doesn't matter what I'm going through or what you're going through. The truth is, by his stripes we were healed. It's already a done deal. Everything's in its place. And I'm not worrying, because my God is the creator of the heaven and the earth. If he can form man and women out of the dust of the ground and create them, can't he recreate something in me? You know, can't he recreate something in you? Can't he give you back that missing thing that you need in your body? Can't he repair it? Why are we believing God if we can't even believe those simple things? Because it's the truth. God is faithful. Don't matter if everything fails, God is faithful. God is true. God is righteous. He's worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be spoken in this manner. And God is at work. And God really is at work. And you are God's masterpiece. You are super conquerors. You're living from the right hand of God. You know, you're more than a super conqueror. You're triumphing in every situation. God always causes us to triumph. God always gives us the victory when there is challenges. Not that we look for them. Not that we expect them. I'm not focused on challenges. But when they come up, I know what to do. Do you know what to do? So God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And you are the light of this world. You're the hope of the nations through Jesus Christ. He's the hope of the nations, and he lives in you. And people need to hear the heavenly words come from your mouth. We really need to pray for laborers. We need to stop focusing so much on ourselves and our problems. We give them to God so that we can focus on doing the work of God. And that's praying for those laborers, praying for areas to open. And God's going to do that work. And we can enjoy everything in the meantime. So anyway, that was in my heart to share. I love you. I thank God for your lives. I thank you for hearing the words that God's put in my mouth to speak. And these are the heavenly words. This is the truth that sets you free. And all you've got to do is receive it with meekness, retain it with conviction, release it with boldness, and be humble to live it and do it, and not argue or debate, because like, you've got the Spirit of the living God in you. You've got the scriptures also. You can verify everything I said. So there's no need to, well, I don't kind of like the way he said this. Stop all that stuff. Receive the words gladly and just move. That's all you got to do. That's what I do. I receive the word. I receive it not as the words of man, but as it is in truth, the word which effectually worketh in me, because I believe that the words that I'm in giving personally from my minister, I believe it to be the words from God. I take the person out of the picture. And that's what you might need to do also. And if you do that, you'll see things flow beautifully again. If things are not flowing like it was, then this is what you need to do. Just get the focus back and keep moving. Thank God that everything's moving wonderfully and hunky-dory for you. And that you are a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. You are the head and you're not the tail. You are above and you're not beneath. You are healed. You are delivered. We don't have to say what we see with our physical eyes. We say what we want. And what is true, and whatever's right in the spiritual is true. And if God says you're prosperous, you're prosperous. If God says you're healed, you're healed. And this is how we got to be like tenacious with our faith in these things. So anyway, this is what's working in my heart. I love you all dearly. You're all wonderful. I know you're walking with God. I know God's doing great things by all of you. And I'm really thankful for this Zoom fellowship, for you guys being on here, for your devotion, your love to God. Your devotion and love to come on here and encourage with the heavenly words that God's working in your heart. Just want to thank you for your steadfast love, and that you are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. So God bless you.